From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 17th day of April 2017. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up this afternoon, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll take up the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons and look at the weather forecast, too. That with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. And we'll hear from Todd Hubbs not only about this afternoon's USDA crop progress report, but he'll also help us roll some of those numbers into the implications of changing acreage mixes for corn and soybeans. Here's a quick preview.
We've heard a lot of chatter about the weather and the rain we've seen and late planting, and when the crop progress report comes out this afternoon, I think you'll see corn acreage sort of lagging behind the five-year pace. But I think we can catch up to it pretty quick.
That's U of I Ag Economist Todd Hubbs. We'll talk more with him later in this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon, the 17th day of April. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. If you're in the field, and a few of you may be to the south of us, be careful out there as you get into the beginning of the planting season. And if you're traveling the roads across Illinois, Indiana, anywhere else in the United States, you might listen to us as a podcast or live stream us. Watch for those planters and tractors. They're big, and they move fairly fast, but not nearly as fast as you. They'll try to get out of the way, but if you're coming up from behind them, it's a fast run to the back end of one of them. So be careful while you're traveling out there during this planting season. Now, on the phone with us is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
So I want to start with the wheat because they had the biggest losses for the day. What happened in that marketplace in particular?
Well, more of the same. Commodity funds like to be short wheat, and any time it sticks its head up above water for about 2 to 3 days, they seem to come back in and get on it. Wheat conditions this afternoon are expected to show a 1% improvement. Last week, the wheat market was 53% good to excellent. Ideas are maybe we can bump that up to 54% good to excellent. The overall reason continues to be that weakness in the wheat. We have ample supplies worldwide. When you look at the ending stocks, they continue to climb from one report to the next. Whereas though some of the individual countries, you know, particularly here in the U.S., we're starting to see, you know, less wheat acres and a little smaller in ending stocks number, but unless there's some major concern somewhere in the world, it's going to be awful hard to see wheat really take charge here and be the leader to the upside here as we move into our early growing season for corn and beans.
Yeah, speaking of corn and beans, tell me about the corn market for the day.
Optimism going into the three-day weekend from the bull that we could continue to see wet weather, forcing planting delays across the Midwest. However, though, over the weekend, the forecast did lighten up the moisture amounts, and there was some activity over the weekend and even activity here as we begin the week. This afternoon's planting progress report has a wide range of expectations, which might sound dramatic more than what it is, but anywhere from 6 to 11% complete as a nation versus 3% last week. We kind of feel we're in this 8-9% area. It seems like you mentioned earlier there's some activity on south of us. Then even here locally, there's a few spots that are going to be able to go here as we move through this week here if the moisture holds off until Wednesday. Calendars moving right along and through here. But as the trade kind of watches the weather maps, ideas are that we're going to see some activity this coming week.
The trade doesn't seem to be too spooked, at least at the moment, about things that have been happening in the North Korean peninsula over the last week or so. Do you expect that to begin to trade into the marketplace at any time?
Well, where it would probably be more of a factor would be the outside markets. Then the outside markets would affect consumer or investor confidence, and that could spill over to the grain complex. South Korea and some of those Asian countries are our best corn buyers, so it's going to be critical for a conflict not to spill over to some of those good demand markets, for say. But as you watch the outside market, that's probably going to be a leader on what the grains could do following suit according to investor confidence.
And finally, a quick look at the South American crop on Thursday, the last time we had a chance really to think about the marketplace very much and discuss what happens across the planet. There were rains still coming in parts of Argentina. They'd already had a lot of wet weather and some flooding. Do we have any better idea of what the impact of that might be? Did it rain very much there over the weekend? Or any other facts that you might have and be able to pass along to us?
Brazil's, you know, fairly well wrapped up. The main thing there is their second corn crop. If you go back in time, over a year ago, that's when the dry weather concerns came in, and the grain market saw a fairly good rally. Argentina's course is calendar-wise just getting going. They're expected their harvest activity to be 10% complete versus about 23% on average. So they're going to continue to be behind. Forecast is clear this week. There's ideas that this harvest could jump up to 20% by the end of the week, and that'd be about compared to 32% on the average. The thing is that I don't think yield's going to be impacted a whole lot, but quality concerns could be a factor here if it continues to be moist as we go into the mid part of their harvest.
Thanks so much, Kurt. Looking forward to having you on Commodity Week on Thursday this week.
Very good. Looking forward to it, Todd.
Absolutely. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Monday afternoon. In today's agricultural news, large organic egg producers want the United States Department of Agriculture to roll back portions of an Obama-era rule setting animal welfare standards for organic livestock and poultry, but first they need Sonny Perdue confirmed as Secretary of Agriculture. Well, just a day before handing over the keys to the Trump team, the USDA finalized the rule which set treatment standards for organic animals produced for meat, dairy, and eggs, including controversial provisions for outdoor access for poultry. Even before the rule went final, egg companies, including Herbrock's Poultry Ranch, Calmaine Foods, and Rose Acre Farms of Indiana, which are among the largest organic egg producers, said the outdoor and space requirements for hens would expose them to disease and cost millions to comply with due to the potential need for larger laying houses and pastures. USDA finalized the rule anyway. Under government rules, to take the rule off the book, Sonny Perdue, should he be confirmed, would have to issue a new regulation. That's a year-long process. However, he can delay it almost indefinitely, and that's what egg producers would like, says Chuck Lipstrom. He's a spokesperson for the Michigan Agribusiness Association. Well, let's stay with the livestock sector for the moment, but we'll switch issue areas. Count the U.S. beef and pork sectors among the most excited in U.S. agriculture about this week's separate but complementary trips to Asia by Vice President Mike Pence and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, as they both have much to gain from bilateral deals with Japan, the world's third largest economy. Pence has already begun his 10-day swing with his wife and daughters through Asia with a stop in South Korea yesterday, and today he heads next to the land of the rising sun, where he's expected to meet on Tuesday with Japan's deputy prime minister. Ross, by contrast, will be making just one stop. It'll be in Japan, where he'll meet with his counterpart. The administration, of course, has been tamping down any thoughts about trade expectations for the conferences this week, warning reporters that the vice president, of course, will focus on very high-level issues and not address industry-specific issues. All in all, most believe there may be some tweetable outcomes about increased Japanese investment in the United States or purchases of U.S. exports, but not much else. Since we're on the international front with grains and oilseeds, Chinese farmers will plant less corn this season, this according to a news report from Reuters, resulting in the smallest crop in 6 years as it moves to whittle down its corn supplies and boost production of soybeans. During the spring planting season, Chinese farmers are expected to cut their corn acreage for a second straight year to 35.2 million hectares. The lower planting will result in corn output dropping in China to 207.5 million tons for the 2017-18 crop year. That will be about a 5.5% decrease from last season. And finally today, we'll come back here to the United States, where three farm credit organizations received stockholder approval to merge their businesses together into one organization. As of July 1st, Farm Credit Services, that's the northern half of Illinois, AgStar Financial Services, and Badgerland Financial will become Compeer Financial. The boards of directors of each organization first began looking into the possibility of merging assets back in February of last year. The new organization will do business in 144 counties across Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois. They'll have 47 offices, nearly 50,000 clients, and $18.6 billion in assets. Just for clarity's sake, Farm Credit Illinois, headquartered in Champaign County outside of Mahomet, will remain a separate entity that services the southern one half of the state of Illinois. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on campus. Hi, Todd. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Today, you've written an article posted to the Farm Doc Daily website. That's at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. It's about planting progress, relatively speaking, in the United States. And those numbers always come out on a Monday during the growing season, as long as there's not a holiday from the United States Department of Agriculture. I think I want to start with one of the last points first. When do you and the rest of the agricultural economists, the crop scientist here on campus, consider corn and soybeans to be in the late planting stage?
Well, I consider it, and I think I can speak for Daryl Good and Scott Irwin, and I can't speak for everybody else, but May 20th for corn is what we would consider late, and May 30th for soybeans. We do see significant yield loss after those points, and Emerson Nafzinger in the crop science department did a nice field study that he published last year looking at planting dates and yields for corn and soybeans in Illinois, and it pretty much holds with that idea. So May 20th on corn, you know, if you're getting corn in later than that, you're going to take a yield hit, and the same thing with soybeans in Emerson's study. And when you look at planting progress through the crop progress report and then potential yields year over year, you see soybean yields take somewhat of a hit when they're into April planting. So those are the dates we use, and those are the dates I use for this little weekly outlook report.
Okay, so 4 weeks from now, we'll be maybe late or beginning to be late for corn, another six for the soybeans. The market gets a little ahead of itself on this one, but that's the way the market's work. It's about futures and not actually sometimes about facts. So that's one item to consider. The second is, historically speaking, have you looked to see what planting progress does as it relates to the corresponding number of acres that are put into the ground?
Yeah, what I did this week is I went back over the last 20 years and looked at crop progress reports for planting on corn and soybeans, and I picked the five largest years for late planting and then the five smallest years for late planting in percentage terms, and then try to determine, you know, what kind of effect does that have on acreage relative to the March planting intentions report. And when I looked at it, for corn there is something there. So in the five largest years for late planting, in other words, the largest number percent nationally late planting, we did see corn acreage reduce relative to the March planting report, but there was a wide variation in spread. On average, it did reduce, but Some years it was positive. Most of the years it was negative. So you think, well, yes, if they get it in late, we're going to see fewer reduced acres in corn. For soybeans, there was really nothing there. Late soybean planting, sometimes they had more planted acres, sometimes less. There was no definite trend or any kind of analysis that I can say for sure that soybean acreage would change relative to the March planting and tenures report over the last 20 years when we look at the biggest and the smallest. And I think that's probably true. Yeah, we'll see as we move forward, but there's definitely something there with corn. And it makes sense if you can't get your corn acres in and you feel like you're going to take a huge yield hit, maybe you switch over to some other crop. There's no real pattern there for soybeans in the data I used historically. This year, you know, there's some pretty big implications for that, considering, you know, the level of acreage farmers said they're going to plant in corn and other seed grains this year relative to soybeans.
Thanks so much, Todd.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Todd Hubbs. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's talk a little bit about the cash grain market at this point. We're joined by Amy Sage. She's at the Andersons. Hey, Amy, thanks so much for being with us. I know you've probably been at 350 or above for cash corn on the spot month since maybe last week. Did much corn move on Thursday or even today?
At this point, I think we're so close to a potential weather market and an entire growing season that for people who have held on this long, this particularly the old crop corn, they're going to wait and see if we do see some type of rally here based on weather.
Were there sell signals out there that farmers just didn't respond to?
That was the rumor, yep. I think there were some technical sell signals and some recommendations out there, but we didn't see a ton of people executing on those signals.
You satisfied just to let them stay put and put the new crop into the ground?
Yeah, I think so. You know, you never know if this year is going to be the year where we don't see a weather market, but typically we do. You know, we went back here and looked, and it's no surprise, but obviously your typical seasonal rallies are going to be coming over the course of the next 3 months. So, you know, if this could be the one-off year where we don't have that, given the carry out, but I guess I'm willing to go on a limb and say that the odds would say that we're going to have some type of weather market. So hopefully it'll be enough to get to some more attractive levels that people are willing to and excited about taking advantage of here over the next few months.
I know midweek last week, some producers to the south of us were moving a bit, though it appeared they got rained out and remained that way today. Are you hearing anything?
Yeah, I have not heard of anybody going today, but we did have over the weekend talked to several people who, not a ton of activity, but it seemed like a lot of people in this area right around Champaign had a field or two that was fit and were able to make some progress. But over the grand scheme of things, I think it was not hugely significant as far as progress goes, but at least people were able to get in, get stuff set, and start scratching around a little bit.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with me today, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Thanks, Todd. My pleasure.
Mm-hmm. That's Amy Sage. She is with the Andersons. Joins us here in the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's check now on this Monday what's been happening in the agricultural weather forecast. Mark Russo is here. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Thanks for being with us on kind of a nice day outside. Mark, we appreciate you taking time today.
Yeah, glad to be here, Todd, as always.
Well, producers would like nice days. They don't mind the rain as long as it comes periodically and they can get in and do some planting. And they sure would like to do that across the Corn Belt. Who will be able to move and who won't?
Well, we feel with this active pattern continuing as we go through basically the remainder of April, and we feel even the first few days of May, at least the best planting conditions, in other words, the region with more of a longer or higher number of days, a consecutive days of fair and dry weather. That's the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, and included in that is portions of the Plains region, but especially in areas of the northern plains, and then into the northwestern Midwest, northern Iowa, Minnesota, eastern Dakotas, even into parts of Nebraska too. That's the area that's starting later on this week. We'll get into about a seven-day stretch of fair and dry conditions. And then the question becomes, again, how much corn can be accomplished in that window, which for that number of days, obviously, that's likely a significant percentage. It's the rest of the belt, though, that will have basically about 3 to 4 days in between these rain systems, and ultimately we'll have a slower planting progress. So it's an active pattern. We're not seeing, you know, widespread areas of very heavy rainfall, but certainly you know, the percentage of corn planted is going to be dependent on the specific rain events here coming up. And overall, it's not ideal, but then again, it's not a huge issue right now.
Yeah, half inch rains are not so bad, actually kind of nice. 2 inch rains are better, or pretty rough if you're trying to get a crop in. Are we more on the half inch side periodically?
Again, it depends on the area. For much of like southern Iowa into areas of Missouri, eastern Kansas could pick. That's the area more likely to pick up over 2 inches or isolated heavier totals versus the rest of the Midwest.
And then we probably better recap what's been happening with the hard red winter wheat crop before I let you go.
Yeah, they continue to improve from a soil moisture standpoint. These systems moving through also are putting down significant rains and ultimately continuing to boost soil moisture at this stage of the season.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse. He's out of Chicago, Illinois.